Two 30-something NBA stars debuted on new teams last night, Shaquille O'Neal with the Phoenix Suns and Jason Kidd with the Dallas Mavericks. Neither player wound up a winner, but their trades from East Coast teams further tipped the league's balance of power. Joining me to discuss the moves, a day earlier than usual, is sports writer Stephen Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Robert.
Shaquille O'Neal scored 15 points and had 9 rebounds, but wound up losing to a team with which he'll always be associated, the Los Angeles Lakers. Score was 130-124. Wow.
Yeah, and that says one thing, that the acquisition of O'Neal, who's 36 years old and slow, won't necessarily slow down the high-scoring Suns. Shaq looked pretty comfortable last night. He wasn't left behind on the fast breaks, but it was his former teammate and nemesis, Kobe Bryant, who put on the real show. He scored 41 points and scored them at will. And the Lakers' recent trade acquisition, the Spanish center Pau Gasol, added 29 points. He might be more important to the NBA championship race than Shaq. Los Angeles has a 7-1 record since it traded for the 7-foot Gasol, who's just 27 years old.
Yeah, Gasol's a terrific player. He came from the Memphis Grizzlies, and a lot of NBA observers said that the Lakers got him for next to nothing. But then there's the Jason Kidd trade, in which Dallas, in order to acquire him, had to send so many people to the New Jersey Nets, they actually had to get somebody out of retirement, re-sign him to make him part of the trade. How can that be right?
Well, it's right because of the NBA's tortured salary rules, which require teams making trades to exchange contracts of equal value. And this often leads to trades that are lopsided from a talent standpoint. In this case, the Mavericks needed to balance out Kidd's $20 million salary. To do that without giving up too many players who had actual on-court value, Dallas signed Keith Van Horn, who last played in 2006, to a $4.3 million contract and shipped him to New Jersey, where he'll probably show up for a practice or two, get released, and buy a new house.
They couldn't have given the money to charity instead. why would the NBA permit this sort of thing?
Well, as my friend Josh Levine explains in a terrific deconstruction of the Kidd trade on Slate.com, it's an example of the rule of unintended consequences. The NBA instituted a salary cap back in 1984 to promote competitive balance and to control spending. Over the years, the league has added exceptions and riders, and it's closed loopholes. So now you've got the most convoluted trading system in sports. It's one based predominantly on payroll management rather than on talent procurement. Teams ideally want players whose contracts are about to expire so that they can gain salary cap space so that they can in turn sign free agents in the offseason. It's intended to control spending, but it's led to a situation where a team will spend $4 million on somebody who will never wear its uniform.
But in the case of Keith Van Horn, as I read in Josh Levine's piece, never filed formal retirement papers. Hence, all of this could be done.
And that's the loophole. You've got, I believe that the Toronto Raptors head coach, Sam Mitchell, also has never filed retirement papers, so he could be traded.
Well, the NBA's trading deadline ended at 3 p.m. Eastern today, with just about every contending team in the Western Conference making some kind of move to strengthen its roster.
Yeah, because this is one of the most competitive fields that you'll ever find in a pro sports league. 9 Western teams have won more than 60% of their games so far, and the best and worst records are separated by just 5 games. Gasol, Kidd, O'Neal only stack the field out west even more. Right now, the surprising New Orleans Hornets own the best record in the West, but the Boston Celtics out East are still atop the league overall.
One NBA business note, league commissioner David Stern last week said the league is considering adding a division consisting of European teams.
Yeah, Stern has been laying the groundwork for this for more than a decade, but he's been held back by the lack of NBA-quality arenas and the ineptitude and bureaucracy of European basketball. Now, though, there are American-style arenas going up in London, Berlin, Madrid, Rome, and the latest plan from the league could circumvent European sports bureaucrats by establishing NBA franchises. They want to create a division of maybe 5 NBA teams. They would be U.S. businesses. And in a similar vein, you had English soccer's Premier League unveiling plans to add a weekend of regular season games played in the U.S. and other countries. It is all about globalization in sports these days.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Robert.
Sports writer Stephen Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal, who talks to us even on Thursday sometimes about sports and the business of sports.